IgA nephropathy, the most common cause of primary glomerulonephritis worldwide. It has a 2-to-1 male-to-female ratio in the U.S. and a peak incidence in the second and third decade of life. 15-20% of patients diagnosed with IgA nephropathy reach renal failure within 10 years of a kidney biopsy diagnosis, and 20-40% of patients reach renal failure within 20 years. Clinical presentation varies widely. It can present as a rapidly progressing glomerulonephritis, a nephritic syndrome, a nephrotic syndrome, although rare, or be asymptomatic with urinary abnormalities. Adults typically present with a microscopic hematuria, proteinuria, hypertension, and elevated serum creatinine, whereas kids typically present with a macroscopic hematuria during an upper respiratory tract infection. The full etiology, however, is still being elucidated. Treatment goals are to slow the rate of nephron loss and usually involves both supportive and immunosuppressive therapy. Welcome, and thank you for joining us on this NSMC podcast about IgA nephropathy. This is one of two installments, with the other installment being presented by other members of our group. I'm your host, Danielle Aliano. Today I'm joined by Melvin Chan, Tyler Maggio, and Samin Ame, who will be discussing landmark trials in IgA nephropathy, study design, results, and the importance in the field of nephrology. First up, we have Melvin, who will be telling us about the IgACE trial. Take it away, Melvin.
Thanks a lot, Danielle. For many years, the only real therapeutic option to treat IgA nephropathy was steroids. When ACE inhibitors came out and was shown to have beneficial for patients with proteinuria kidney diseases, retrospective studies started looking at their effects on patients with IgA nephropathy. Early data was actually mixed, and one subgroup analysis of a large randomized control study did not show any benefits in patients with IgA nephropathy. Then came along IgACE in 2007, which really silenced the critics. So briefly, IgACE was a multi-centered, randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blinded, intention-to-treat trial investigating the effects of ACE inhibitors on biopsy-proven IgA patients with moderate proteinuria, defined as those between 1 to 3.5 grams per day of proteins and a creatinine clearance greater than 50 mils per minute per 1.73 meters squared. They initially attempted to recruit over 120 patients in this trial, but was only able to get 32 patients in the ACE inhibitor group and 34 in the placebo group. What they found was significant improvements in proteinuria and increased likelihood of remission, even after adjusting for age, gender, baseline creatinine, baseline systolic and diastolic blood pressures, and mean arterial pressures. The use of ACE inhibitor was found to be protective. They also found decreased progression of renal injury for those on ACE inhibitors. Because of these findings, main guidelines, including the ones from KDIGO, have made ACE inhibitors a cornerstone of therapy for patients with IgA nephropathy. Hey, Samin, this study was a small study. Why do you think they had so much trouble recruiting? And what do you think of these results?
There was already a lot of positive press around ACE inhibitors in the early 2000s, so clinicians assumed it would be beneficial for IgA nephropathy patients. You can probably compare ACE inhibitors at that time to the GLP-1 agonist today for weight loss. Would you rather place your obese patients on GLP-1 agonist or metformin? While the study was small, it still found very robust differences between groups. I would assume the study would have found even more significant benefits of ACE inhibitors with more patients in the study. In fact, wasn't the number of patients in the treatment group smaller than 32?
You're actually right, Samin. They actually had much fewer patients. They only had 23 patients in ACE inhibitor group because 9 dropped out, with 1 being pregnant and 1 passing away. The other 7 withdrew because they did not want to stop the ACE inhibitor they were already receiving. Tyler, how many IgA patients have you seen on ACE inhibitors?
Yeah, I think almost all of them are on it, I think because of how foundational they are. But Melvin, you treat a lot more children than I do. Do you use ACE inhibitors routinely for your pediatric patients with IgA nephropathy as well?
Yes, I routinely use ACE inhibitors as my first line of therapy. And for my 2 years of being a pediatric nephrologist in training, these medications are actually quite effective. In fact, half of the study's cohort is in patients under the age of 18. When they performed subgroup analysis, they also found that children were more likely to achieve remission on ACE inhibitors, but it was not statistically significant. My only cautionary tale is that not all pediatric patients respond well to ACE inhibitors. I had a handful of patients who had worsening proteinuria and or renal function. In those cases, I may re-biopsy a patient to see if there are any crescents, and or need to initiate on immunosuppressive therapies like steroids. For Asians in particular, I may initiate mycophenolate later in their clinical course so I can rapidly taper their steroids.
Thank you, Melvin. You transition us nicely to our next study, the main trial.
Yeah, so let's dive into the main trial. This was published out of a single center in China earlier this year. It set out to study the addition of mycophenolate to the consensus supportive care established in our previous trials versus that supportive care alone, and included 170 patients that ended up being randomized.
While it's exciting to continue getting new data on this topic, hasn't mycophenolate been studied before? What makes this trial different?
Mycophenolate has certainly been fighting for a seat at the IGA table for several years. The big difference with this trial is the sample size with those 170 patients. For example, there was a meta-analysis in 2018 that showed equivocal benefit from mycophenolate, and that included 8 trials with a total of 510 patients. This being the largest single trial to date, it seemed to be powered to decide if mycophenolate was actually beneficial or not.
Okay, sounds like they were quite effective at recruiting. Can you tell us more about the background of this trial?
I would love to. Patients were initially recruited with biopsy-proven IgA nephropathy, greater than 1 gram per day of proteinuria, persistent hypertension, and an eGFR greater than 30 but less than 60. This produced an initial group of 238 patients who then underwent a 3-month run-in to maximize ACE inhibitor or ARB therapy. Those patients with persistent proteinuria greater than 0.75 grams per day, despite the ACE inhibitor or ARBs, were then randomized to either continued supportive care or the addition of 1.5 grams of mycophenolate daily to that supportive care. The 170 patients described previously underwent randomization, and then they studied the outcome measures, including a composite of doubled serum creatinine, progression to end-stage kidney disease, or death from kidney or cardiovascular disease, with a secondary outcome regarding the progression of CKD. Patients were then followed for 3 years.
It's interesting that after the run-in period to optimize supportive care, only about a quarter of the patients no longer met criteria for the study. I would have expected a better reduction in proteinuria based on what we discussed earlier. What were the results for after those 3 years?
The results were actually quite impressive. In the mycophenolate group, there were only 6 occurrences of the primary composite outcome compared to 18 in the supportive care-only group for an adjusted hazard ratio of 0.23. The secondary outcome had a similar hazard ratio with 7 events in the mycophenolate group and 23 in the supportive care group. Subgroup analysis showed persistent significance of the effect, and the safety events were similar between the two groups. As an aside, they also reported an accelerated rate of eGFR decline in the post-trial analysis in those patients who discontinued the mycophenolate versus those who continued on this medication.
That data does seem pretty convincing for the addition of mycophenolate for patients with persistent proteinuria, despite already being on ACE or ARB therapy. Do you have any concerns with this study?
Yeah, so Melvin, I think you alluded to it earlier, but a lot of the studies that have shown benefit from mycophenolate have been in Asian patients, and this is yet to be shown convincingly in other populations. I don't believe we have identified any physiological or pathological basis for why IgA nephropathy responds differently in these patients, but it makes it a little bit difficult to generalize these findings. The fact that the response to optimized supportive care was slightly underwhelming may or may not be connected to the more positive mycophenolate response too. I think mycophenolate certainly does have a role, but I'm not quite sure this study answers all of our questions about it.
Thanks, Tyler. Next, we have Melvin, who will walk us through the DAPA-CKD trial. Melvin?
Thanks, Danielle. As everyone knows, DAPA-CKD was a large, multi-centered, randomized control study that looked at SGLT2 inhibitors and various causes of chronic kidney disease. When they did a post-hoc analysis on just IgA nephropathy patients, there was approximately 270 of those patients. The primary composite for this study was sustained decline in eGFR of more or equal to 50%, progression to ESKD or death due to renal disease. What they found was a 4-fold reduction in reaching the endpoint in patients on SGLT2 inhibitors and standard of care, as compared to patients that were just on standard of care. The treatment group also had a 25% less proteinuria than the standard of care group.
What about the side effects? We all know that SGLT2 inhibitors cause more UTIs, right?
That's a great question, Tyler. The investigators actually did not find increased risk of side effects, specifically not more UTIs.
Awesome. Thanks, Melvin. Lastly, we have Samin who will tell us about the PROTECT trial.
So next, I'll talk about this novel and non-immunosuppressive drug, sparsentan. The drug acts on two different receptors, the endothelin and angiotensin receptors within the kidney, and by targeting both receptors simultaneously, sparsentan has the potential to provide a more comprehensive approach to treating IgA nephropathy. Unlike current therapies, which often require addition of immunosuppression, sparsentan can be used as a single agent and has potential for improved efficacy and safety. The medication and its effects are being studied in a groundbreaking trial.
This sounds very promising. Can you tell us more about this trial and its findings?
Definitely. The PROTECT trial was a randomized double-blind study conducted from December 2018 to May 2021. The study included 404 participants from 18 different countries who were adults with biopsy-proven IgA nephropathy and high level of proteinuria, despite receiving maximum doses of the standard RAS inhibitor for at least 12 weeks. The participants were then randomly assigned to either the sparsentan or irbesartan group. The primary endpoint of the trial was the change in urine protein creatinine ratio from baseline at 36 weeks.
So what then were the key findings of this trial?
So the results demonstrated that there was statistically significant reduction in proteinuria in the sparsentan group as compared to the irbesartan group. The mean percent change in urine protein creatinine ratio for a baseline was greater in the sparsentan group, around like negative 49.8%, than the irbesartan group, which was negative 15%, resulting in an intergroup relative reduction of 41% with a 95% confidence interval of 0.51 to 0.69.
That's very interesting. As per the trial, were there any safety concerns associated with the use of sparsentan?
Not really. There was no difference in the safety profile of sparsentan when compared to irbesartan. Treatment emergent adverse events were comparable between the two groups. There were no cases of severe edema, heart failure, hepatotoxicity, or edema-related discontinuations of the drugs. Additionally, there were no significant differences in body weight between the two groups.
Wow, that's great. It's good to know that the safety profile of the drug was favorable. How can these findings be utilized in patients with IgA nephropathy?
So sparsentan, it offers a new approach to managing IgA nephropathy. These findings suggest that once daily treatment with sparsentan has the potential to provide meaningful reduction in proteinuria, which is an important marker of kidney disease and progression. However, the study is ongoing and future analysis will show whether these short-term beneficial effects translate into long-term nephroprotective potential of the drug in IgA nephropathy. Conditions like IgA nephropathy can have a profound impact on patients' lives, and it's crucial that we continue to explore innovative treatment options to improve outcomes.
Awesome. Thank you, Melvin, Tyler, and Samin, for walking us through the trials and enlightening us all on some of the landmark trials for IgA nephropathy. Make sure to check out the other installment of this two-part series. For more information, please check out the NSMC and Landmark Nephrology websites. Thanks for listening. Bye.